Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I'd like to welcome all of you to our very special webinar titled The Greatest Night. This webinar, inshallah, we'll be focusing on the last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan and specifically Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, the greatest night of the year. We put together this webinar to discuss some of the very important topics and issues, you know, things that people have a lot of questions about or people have a lot of curiosity in regards to the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, and specifically the last 10 nights. And so, alhamdulillah, we're very happy to bring this program to you. And inshallah, you're going to be hearing from a number of our instructors and our scholars at Qalam here today. Sheikh Muntasir Zaman is going to be covering a lot of the prophetic narrations, the ahadith that we have, the information given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the last 10 nights and exactly when is Laylatul Qadr. We're going to have Ustada Fatima Lett discussing the very famous dua, the dua that was recommended to Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, to read on the night of power. So as you are seeking out Laylatul Qadr, what dua should you be making? We're going to hear from Mufti Hussein Kamani, who's going to describe to us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam observed the last 10 nights. What did he do during the last 10 nights? And then, inshallah, Sheikh Mikael Smith will talk to us about the opportunity that presents itself to us as we embark within the last 10 days and the last 10 nights of the blessed month of Ramadan. So, alhamdulillah, it's a very beneficial program that's been put together by the entire team. We're very happy to be able to bring this program to you. And as you've probably already noticed, alhamdulillah, for today's program, we were also able to arrange for simultaneous sign language interpretation in an effort to better serve our entire community and to make our best effort to not leave anyone left out from the community, and so that everyone is able to, inshallah, benefit and able to enjoy the experience. You have to excuse me. It's just, it's that allergy season. So I have a lot of stuff going on. And so, but alhamdulillah. So with that being said, I just talked about we're able to bring this program to you. I wanted to draw your attention and bring your attention to something really important. Our partners in today's program are Penny Appeal USA. Penny Appeal USA, for those who do not know, Many folks have hopefully by now heard of them, but Penny Appeal since 2016 has been committed to fighting poverty and need. They've provided aid in the midst of emergencies. They've supported orphans, provided warm meals. They've helped give medical assistance, provided clean water to families across Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and right here at home, doing a lot of work domestically in the U.S. Penny Appeal has helped over a million people. They've uplifted communities. They work. Their strategy is to break that cycle of poverty and build brighter futures. So this Ramadan, they are continuing that effort with the support of people like you, like us here at Qalam, all of us together. So they have a beautiful campaign called You Are the Difference campaign. And inshallah, through that effort, that campaign of You Are the Difference, we can all work to change people's lives. So today I'd like to ask you to go to pausa.org/qalam. pausa.org/qalam. And if you go to the website there, you see how easy it is to donate. You can donate right there, quick donate with just a click of a button. They also, mashallah, have set up a really beautiful option where someone can donate every day all throughout the last 10 nights of Ramadan. You see there right there, the My 10 Nights campaign. So I want to encourage everyone, please go there to the link and donate and contribute generously. PAUSA is also a place where you can give your Zakat al-Fitr, your Zakat al-Mal, your annual charity, your annual Zakat if you have not yet given it. And it is a place where you can give your Zakat al-Fitr, your Sadaqat al-Fitr. All right, so you can give your Fitra there as well. And so inshallah, please make sure you take care of that. Barakallahu feekum. And with that, inshallah, let's go ahead and get into today's program. The very first session that we're going to have here today will be conducted by myself. And along with me, we have one of our mashallah bright students at the Qalam Seminary, fifth year student. So inshallah, hopefully he'll be graduating this year, inshallah, bi'nillah, if everything goes according to plan. And Hafiz Sajid Ibrahimi, mashallah, he's a student of knowledge at Qalam, a fifth year student, and a Hafiz, and mashallah, licensed and certified within the 10 recitations of the Quran. So we're very happy to have him here with us, alhamdulillah. And so what we'll be doing in this particular session is he'll be reciting for us Surah Al-Qadr, Surah number 97 of the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what's very unique and interesting about the night of power, Laylatul Qadr, is that there is an entire chapter dedicated to it within the Quran. It is a shorter chapter, albeit it is five verses, but nonetheless, it's very interesting for something of this sort to be addressed this way within the Quran. And so it definitely gives it a lot of significance and it gives it a lot of importance. And so I thought that what we would do here is that we would go through this surah verse by verse. He will recite one verse for us. I will explain the meaning behind that verse so that we are able to appreciate it. And then that way we'll go through the whole surah, inshallah. So before we get started, it is a Meccan surah. Now, what does that mean? What that means is that this surah was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him, in the Meccan period. In the Meccan period, before the migration from Mecca to Medina. And it is called Al-Qadr. Al-Qadr can mean a couple of different things. It can mean might, majesty, power, magnitude of something. And it can also refer to a designation, right? Estimation, designation, all right? To designate something, to allocate something, okay? So those are the two possible meanings. Why is the night of power called that? Well, two reasons as well. Number one, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. As the Quran also identifies that, in the opinion of many of the interpreters of the Quran, the commentators on the Quran, the Mufassirin, that those verses in Surah Al-Dukhan, which is Surah number 44. So in chapter number 44, the verses at the beginning that they are also about Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. So nonetheless, there are narrations that also allude to this, that on that night, the decrees and the designations for the coming year, what will happen with people, what people will be given, what they will be allocated, is distributed and brought down to the earth by the angels, Jibreel alayhi salam at the head of them, on the night of power, on Laylatul Qadr. Number two, as I mentioned, Al-Qadr can also mean might and majesty. So Laylatul Qadr is called the night of power, as we titled here, the greatest night. Why? Because this is a night on which the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are unmatched. They supersede and they are at a whole nother level than they are at any other time during the year. All the earth becomes flooded with angels from all the way from the setting of the sun, Maghrib, all the way till the Fajr of the next morning. The mercy of Allah that descends during this night is unmatched. And then lastly and finally, that worship, as we're going to learn in the surah, any deed that you do on this night is greater than any deed, greater than a deed being done for over 1,000 months at any other night or at other times of the year. So that's part of the reason, that's a little bit of a background on the surah, what it's called, why it's called what it's called, and when it came down to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was before the hijrah and the migration. And the last thing I'll mention here is there's actually a couple of narrations that I found very interesting, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one narration that is mentioned by Mujahid and in the book of Sabab al-Nuzul by Al-Wahidi, he mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about a man who fought in battle for the sake of Allah for 1,000 months consecutively, like for years, decades and decades and decades, right? He fought consecutively. And the companions of the Prophet, peace be upon him, may Allah be pleased with them, they felt a little, you know, envious, and they felt, in a good way, they felt like they were missing out on something, like, wow, we can't do that. We don't have the opportunity to do that. In another narration, it's mentioned by Imam al-Tabari that in Bani Israel, in the amongst the children of Israel, the Israelites, the Prophet ﷺ talked about a man who stood and prayed all night long, and then he would fight and defend the community during the day, and he would alternate this way. Fight during the day, pray at night. Fight during the day, pray at night. And he did this for over 1,000 months. Like, he did this for decades and decades. And again, the companions felt like, how do we get that kind of reward? And Allah revealed the surah as to say, there's one night. If you worship on that one night, you get more reward than even that man did. Okay, so just to give you a little bit of a framework for that. So bismillah, we'll go through the verses now, inshallah. Sajid, please recite for us.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr.
So in this first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, we sent it down, we revealed it within the night of power. What is the it that Allah talks about, we sent down and we revealed? It is the Qur'an. The Qur'an came down in the month on this night of power. We know in Surah Al-Baqarah, right, in Surah number 2, verse number 185, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that in the month of Ramadan, we sent down the Qur'an, right? But what night was it specifically that the revelation of the Qur'an commenced? It began with the surah that comes right before the surah, Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. It comes right before this surah, and that was the very first revelation. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, read in the name of your Lord, the one who created, right? That was revealed on this particular night of power. And one interesting little tidbit the scholars, they point out, is that It says we revealed it, we sent it down. But it doesn't name it because it's talking about the Quran because of how obvious it is what Allah has sent down, that it is the most important thing. You know, like when you're introducing someone, right? You're hearing someone for the first time, they say, oh, I'd like to introduce you to Hafiz Sajid. Okay, and you're like, okay, mashallah. But if, you know, Qari Abdul Basit was, and you give an introduction to Hafiz Sajid, but if Qari Abdul Basit was reciting, what would you say? You'd say, the next reciter needs no introduction. You know him. You've been listening to him. Qari Abdul Basit, right? So when something is so great, it doesn't need an introduction, right? And that's why the Quran doesn't need an introduction here. Go ahead.
وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ.
This is a very fascinating expression that is used a few places in the Quran, that what will give you an idea as to the magnitude of this night of power? It's a rhetorical question, and it's a way to draw in the reader, the listener, and to create anticipation that you're expecting the answer to be really profound. Go ahead.
ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر.
That the night of power is better than 1,000 months. Now, maybe somewhere you've kind of seen this estimation that 1,000 months equals about, you know, 83 some odd years. And that's correct. I mean, that's just the math. But what's more important to understand is that in the Arabic language, alf and uluf and alaf, right? These words, thousands and thousands, as we say in English, is an expression that actually is similar to the expression that we use now, where we say millions and billions, billions and trillions, or, you know, like the, it's a nonsense word, but sometimes when we're casually speaking, we say gajillions, you know. It's a way to say that an endless amount. Basically, the gist of what Allah is saying here is that worshiping on this one night is better than an endless amount of worship on other than this night. Go ahead.
تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر.
So in this verse, verse number 4, Allah says that the angels descend down. And the verb that is used, it refers to angels descending down in waves upon waves upon waves, to the point where the earth becomes covered and flooded with angels. And at the head of them, وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا وَالرُّوحُ, that the angel Gabriel, the archangel Gabriel, he is at the head of them. And he's mentioned specifically because that should impress upon us the significance of this moment. Gabriel only comes down for very major significant events, like bringing revelation to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, or may Allah protect us, may God protect us. He was sent down to destroy and to annihilate nations that had disrespected and had, you know, rebelled against God. So Gabriel is sent down, Jibreel alayhi salam is sent down by Allah for very major significant events. So the fact that Jibreel alayhi salam is coming down for this night at the head of all the angels, that tells us that this is not some ordinary night. This is not some normal occasion. This is a very special moment and a very special occasion. And then it mentions that he comes down by the permission of, they all come down by the permission of their Lord, min kulli amr. And that is the part of the verse that also refers to the idea I mentioned before, that they come down with the decree of God. All of humanity's affairs are distributed and allocated on that night.
سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر.
And this is a night of peace. But it's very interesting how Allah says it. هي سلام. Allah says سلام هي. Right? That this is the ultimate night of peace and tranquility. And maybe that's the greatest reward of all. You know, of course, the reward of worship and deeds is not a small thing. But maybe the greatest reward of this night, the greatest blessing of this night is the peace, the tranquility, the serenity. So much so that the Prophet, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, describing the night to us, said even the night is very calm and mellow. There's like some moisture in the air at night that provides a very calming and soothing effect. That when the sun rises in the morning, it's not cloudy or covered, but at the same time, it's not harsh, where it kind of like burns or it kind of like it's harsh to look in that direction, but it almost has a very soft glow to it. Everything about this night is centered around the idea of peace, of tranquility, of serenity, of blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until the morning comes. But we have the night and we have the whole night. And so with that, I will thank Hafiz Sajid for his beautiful recitation. And I will let him know that I will see him in class, inshallah. And hopefully he will be ready for class, inshallah. And secondly, I want to thank everyone for listening and for watching. And we're going to transition right away, inshallah, very quickly here in the program. We're a little, couple of minutes behind. And as always, that's my fault. this next speaker, scholar, presenter is unfortunately very accustomed to me going over my time because his classes and periods at the seminary are a lot of times after my classes. And so he's used to this. I apologize as always. And so inshallah, please, you'll be now listening to and benefiting from Sheikh Muntasir Zaman. Jazakumullah khairan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Anbiya wal Mursaleen wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum to one and all. I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for granting me the opportunity to be presenting before you at this moment. And the occasion that we're all speaking of is a very momentous occasion. Laylatul Qadr is the night of power. It's an opportunity for all of us to draw closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to multiply our rewards and make up for any gaps that we may have in our spirituality and our practice throughout the year. Living in the modern advanced age of technology, as human beings, we crave certainty. We crave exactness. So if I have a flight tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, I prepare for it to be exactly at 9 o'clock. There should be no before or after. My work starts at a particular time, ends at a particular time. We all have a desire to be aware of our surroundings, be aware of what we're looking forward to. Now, with that in mind, that's understandable why we want that. But with that in mind, when we see Laylatul Qadr, oftentimes we're befuddled, we're not in a state of understanding of, okay, is it this night? Is it that night? Which night is it? And that's what we want to address here. So Laylatul Qadr, as we know, is a powerful night. But which night is it is a question that many people have. When we study the hadith corpus, when we study hadith literature, it becomes clear that there is no specific evidence for it to be on this night, end of story. Rather, based on the plethora of hadith on the subject, a very famous scholar of the Mamluk era, his name is Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, he cites over 40 opinions on which specific night is Laylatul Qadr. Which specific night is it? And many of us may be wondering, why is there this difference? Can't we just know that it is this night? Well, let's go back and visit a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari on the authority of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came to us and he was about to make an announcement and then something happened. And then he said thereafter that occurrence that I came to tell you of the specific night when Laylatul Qadr will occur. But when I saw two people quarreling, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that that knowledge was taken away from me. So we were on the brink of knowing that specific date. But then due to infighting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed that knowledge from us. But what's beautiful is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he immediately says thereafter that وَعَسَىٰ أَن يَكُونَ خَيْرًا لَكُمْ, the fact that this knowledge was taken away from you, perhaps there is some goodness in that. And what is the goodness? The commentators explain that when we're not sure of exactly which night it is, we're going to exert effort on every night with hopes that we will acquire that reward. Now, which night is it? We don't know for sure, but an analysis of the hadith on the subject can help narrow our database. So there's an authentic hadith on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha recorded in Sahih al-Bukhari, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, تَحَرَّوْ لَيْلَةَ الْقَدْرِ فِي الْوِتْرِ مِنَ الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنَ رَمَضَانِ, that search for the night of power on the odd nights from the last 10 days. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have taken this specific date away from us, but we have a path forward to at least, you know, try to look for it on the last 10 nights. And from the last 10 nights, it could be one of the odd nights. There's another hadith from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu where he says, إِلْتَمِسُوهَا فِي الْعَشْرِ الْأَوَاخِرِ مِنْ رَمَضَانِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ, look for لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ on those nights of Ramadan towards the last 10 days. But then the Prophet ﷺ also says, you know, on the 21st, on the 23rd, on the 25th, you know, these odd nights, look for it. So it's very beautiful that the Prophet ﷺ may have not given us the specific date, but he did make it easy for us. So it's that perfect balance of where if we knew, you know what, it's on the 27th for sure, then that's the only night where we would do extra worship. But if we had no idea when it was, sometime in the year, sometime in our lifetime, we'd be like, forget it. You know, I don't have that desire to do that. That being said, there are multiple opinions, right? Some would say it's sometime randomly in the year. Some would say it's sometime in Ramadan. But a number of scholars have explained that the most authentic opinion, based on the ahadith that we've analyzed thus far, is that it is on the last 10 nights. And from those last 10 nights, it is on the odd nights. There is another interesting question that scholars debate, and that is, okay, does it happen on a specific night? We don't know when it is. Let's say it's the 21st or the 23rd or the 27th. It could be either of them, any of them. Does it change every year, or is it a specific night? So from the time of the Prophet ﷺ until the present day, it is a specific night. And that specific night is going to be, let's say, 27th. Or the 25th. And although some scholars do hold that opinion, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and a number of great scholars, they say that the correct opinion is that it may be the 27th last year. This year, it will be the 25th, for instance. 10 years ago, it was the 21st. It may be another night. So mutanaqqila, it changes year to year. And that should inspire us to now seek that night out and get the reward. Some multitude of narrations mention that, okay, seek out these signs that, you know, if there's dew in the morning or the sun rays are in a particular way. There isn't any authentic hadith on that subject from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There happens to be some observations of the pious predecessors, but we shouldn't fully rely on that, because these are things that the scholars have said out of experience, but it's not scripturally concretely established that if I see such and such sign, I know for a fact that it is Laylatul Qadr. In summary, we as Muslims know that Allah affords us many occasions to draw closer to Him more than other days. And Laylatul Qadr is such a night. And it is upon us to seek this night out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, he uses a command, an amr. He says, taharro, iltamisu, go and look out for it. Go and seek out the night of power. And we may not know that specific night, but with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet alayhi salam has given us some broad, some general indicators. And that is, on the last 10 nights, specifically the odd nights. And as long as I do a bit of extra effort, even if it means to recite some more Quran, even if it means to pray my salah in a congregation, even if it means to give some charity on that night, I can't overly exert myself, but the little that I do will be multiplied manyfold. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire us and to grant us the opportunity to witness this powerful night. And may He make us among those who reap the reward every time the night comes to us. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Jazakum Allahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى وسلامنا على عباده الذين اصطفى، خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء. أما بعد، may Allah reward Sheikh Abdul Nasir and Mufti Muntasir for guiding us with regards to the nights of Ramadan that are still ahead of us, specifically Laylatul Qadr. Mufti Muntasir spoke of how the ulama differ in opinion on when exactly is Laylatul Qadr. And one of the wisdoms behind that we can see is it keeps us on our toes. We keep searching for it. We don't get too comfortable. When a person knows something is happening at a particular time, they prepare for it, they do it, and then once that's done, they're checked out, but I did my part. However, when you're not exactly sure the greatest moment is that lies ahead of you, you use every moment as the greatest moment. The truth is, this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his entire Ramadan. It's as if the entire Ramadan was super special, and from day one until day 30, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exerted himself. Even then, when it came to the last 10 nights of Ramadan, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned up the heat a little more. The riwayat tell us, ayqadha ahlahu. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wake his family up as well. In addition to worshiping all night himself, he would wake his family members up. Like, guys, let's get up. Let's do this together. I'm doing what I'm doing, but I want you to join me too, because these moments, these opportunities are special. Similarly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shadda mi'zarahu, he would tie his waistband. Now, tying your waistband, what does that mean? So there are multiple interpretations of this. Some scholars, they say tying your waistband means that he would avoid intimacy during these last 10 nights to push himself further in worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though intimacy is permissible in Islam during the night hours, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam avoided it nonetheless, making that extra sacrifice so he can dedicate those nights worshiping Allah, because Laylatul Qadr is in those last 10 nights. So that's one meaning of what shadda mi'zarahu means, to tie your waistband. Other scholars, they say this isn't so much about intimacy as much as it is about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam figuratively informing the companions, or the companions speaking of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying that he exerted himself, period. When a person ties their waistband, that means they're down for serious business. Now they're going to do something really big. They're going to take on a massive task. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam shadda mi'zarahu, he would tie his waistband. What exactly did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do in these last 10 nights? We don't necessarily have a detailed schedule. What we do know is that the acts of worship the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was already doing, he continued doing them. So in Ramadan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was clearly fasting, he continued his fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the month of Ramadan was already charitable, his charity increased. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam already spent the nights in tahajjud and qiyam, standing in front of Allah. That also continued. Now, there are two things in particular that I see that I think are important to focus on when it comes to the last 10 days of Ramadan. The first one is a dua that was taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be read by a person who finds Laylatul Qadr. Anyone who finds Laylatul Qadr, they should read a particular dua. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. Oh Allah, you are one who pardons, you love to pardon, so pardon me. And I won't go any further on that. Just, I wanted to posit that there, that there's a dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is recommended regarding the last 10 nights of Umrah. The second thing, which I wanted to focus a little on as well, just touching on it, is the issue of i'tikaf. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also performed his i'tikaf in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Now, if you're wondering what i'tikaf is to attach yourself to a specific location and remain in seclusion for the 10-day period. For men, i'tikaf is done in the masjid. For women, they can allocate a part of their home and do i'tikaf there without leaving unless there is necessity. And the spiritual benefit of this is tremendous. Khulasat al-Kalam, in summary, when we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Ramadan, we see it to be one in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did what was above the normal for him throughout the year. And he left an example for us that don't snooze. And we're at that point right now where the Ramadan slump is hitting everyone. Everyone's getting tired and they're exhausted and they want to stop. And when the last 10 nights come in, there are those people among us who really up their game. And then there are others who just continue to count the days and say, I can't wait for Ramadan to be over because I want to go back to having coffee in the morning. Don't give up too soon. Don't give up. Stay strong. Keep pushing yourself. Surround yourself by good people. If you're somewhere where your masjid is open and you're able to go safely, then go to your masjid and spend more time there. Spend the nights there. But if you're not able to go to the masjid, if that's not something available to you, then maybe you can do that at your home. You could choose a location in your home where you sit and you do some ibadah, do some dua, do some dhikr, or you worship Allah, you remember Allah. You raise your hands, you call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pick the Qur'an up, read the Qur'an. But these moments are very valuable and special. We've worked so hard in Ramadan to make it this far. Now that we're here, if we left Ramadan without acquiring the benefits of Laylatul Qadr, we would truly be those at loss. So I conclude here and I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from what lies ahead of us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts this gathering. Next we have Saba Fatima Let, who is very dear and near to us all. She does amazing work in the community, a lot of community engagement. She's also an instructor at the Qalam Seminary. I'm going to invite her up, inshallah, so she can also make her contributions as we continue this conversation. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasirri amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Jazakallah khairan, everybody, for joining us. Today we've been able to learn so much about Laylatul Qadr, about the last 10 nights of Ramadan, and how we should really be putting in this extra effort in our Ramadan and this extra effort in, you know, our worship and in our charity and so on and so forth. And today's program has been brought to us by Penny Appeal, who have been doing amazing work in the community, whether it be right here at home or in different parts of the world. And Penny Appeal has been invested in supporting orphans and providing warm meals and helping with medical assistance and providing clean water to families across the world. And what we see with the crisis that is happening, the COVID-19 crisis that is happening in India currently, and the fact that India has seen the largest single day total in the world with over 360,000 new cases in just 24 hours. Lives hanging by a thread and different, you know, people, institutions and areas not being able to hold all of the different bodies, that they are overwhelmed and devastated. In this blessed month, you can help someone through the organization of Pinia Pill, where they will be able to provide these different, deliver different aids, including PPE, medicine, and oxygen to COVID-19 patients and people suffering in India. And we need your help. You're able to make an immediate gift now to provide PPE, medicine, and oxygen to COVID-19 patients in India by visiting pausa.org/kalam. That is pausa.org/QALAM. So we really, really, really hope that you're able to help our brothers and sisters around the world, those who are struggling, COVID-19 cases, and it may seem like it's over. Maybe some of you are vaccinated. Maybe, you know, it's come and going, you're home. It may seem like it's over there, but there's still people around the world that are suffering. There are still people who need our help. And so please, please visit pausa.org/kalam and make your contribution, especially in these last 10 nights of Ramadan. Inshallah. Today, inshallah, I'm going to talk to you guys about a very important point that Mufti Kamani alluded to. And that important point is the dua that one should make in the last 10 days of Ramadan. The dua that one should make while they're looking for the night of Laylatul Qadr. There's a narration from Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Prophet, she says, "Ara'ayta in rafaqtu Laylatul Qadr ma ad'u." In the time where I am looking, if someone is, what do you think a person should say? Or what should I say while I'm waiting for the night of Laylatul Qadr? What should I say if I'm waiting for the night of Laylatul Qadr to approach me? Or what should I say when the night of Laylatul Qadr has come upon me? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, out of all the du'as that the Prophet sallallahu could have given, out of all of the different du'as that the Prophet sallallahu could have told us to say, the Prophet sallallahu then gives her a very specific du'a. And in this du'a, the Prophet sallallahu says, "Taqulin," this is what you should say, "Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni." That you should say, "Oh Allah, you are forgiving and love forgiveness, so forgive me." Now, we have a little bit of time, so we're going to break down this dua a little bit and see how beautiful this dua is. Because there are so many different names of Allah that talk about God's forgiveness. There are so many different names of Allah that talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being forgiving to us. For example, we could say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Ghafoor, that he's the all-forgiven, or Al-Ghafar, or Al-Ghafir, that these all have an element of Allah being forgiving. But the Prophet ﷺ chose the name Al-Afu. And the name Al-Afu has a slight difference. Yes, it is God being forgiving. Yes, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being forgiving. But it also means to hide something or to completely remove it, to erase something as if it wasn't there. For someone's basically their footsteps to be on sand, and when they look back at the footsteps that they left behind, it's gone. You can't see a trace of it. And so here we're learning that actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, Al-Afu, is different from Al-Ghafir, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he's Al-Ghafir, when we're saying that God is forgiving in that manner, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers it. He covers your sin. Or maybe you stand before him and then he forgives you for it. You're not held accountable for that action. That's where that forgiveness comes in. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Afu, it's actually where Allah, you don't even, that sin is gone. It's completely erased. It's as if it never existed. It's as if you never did it. All right. And then the name Al-Afu has another element to it. And this second element that it has is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you even better, God for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you even better, or to give more than what's due, to give more than what is said to even be given. And it's so beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, you know, his forgiving nature in Surah Al-Furqan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Illa man taba," except for the one who turns back to Allah, "wa amana," and they believe, "wa amila salihan," and they do, "wa amila amalan salihan," and they do good deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ for these people, يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ, that God takes their sins, the wrong things that they've done, and he turns them into good deeds. Not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove it, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely erase your sins, not only does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely take your sins away from you, but what does he do? He turns them into good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا, and know that Allah is all-forgiving and he's all-merciful. And in that same spirit of Allah being, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being al-afu, and giving, taking away from us our sins and erasing them completely, and still giving us more than even what is due, more than what he even said, is another thing. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي, he is the one who, يَقْبَلُ تَوْبَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ, he accepts his servant's repentance. That when we turn to Allah, he accepts that. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ سَيِّئَاتِ, and he completely erases their misdeeds. He completely erases their bad deeds. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تَفْعَلُونَ, and he knows that which they have done. Knowing what you do, knowing what you've done, knowing the mistakes that you've made, knowing the ups and downs that you've gone through, knowing all the times that you've crossed your own boundaries, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still not only forgives those, but completely erases it. He completely removes it like it never happened. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَسْتَجِيبُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and he answers dua of those who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they did good deeds. وَيَزِيدُهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, and he increases them in his bounty. He increases them in his favor. How beautiful is that? That we're sitting and we're asking Allah for forgiveness. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our shortcomings. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us of our sins and our mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just stop at forgiving us, but he completely erases them. And he completely pardons them. And he completely removes them as if they never happened. And in fact, gave you more and put more of his favor and more of his bounty onto you. And in doing that, replace your bad deeds with good deeds. And in this dua, we see that it's so powerful. Because it doesn't stop at Allahumma innaka afuun. It doesn't just stop at, oh Allah, you are all forgiving. You are the pardoner. You are the one who erases sins. It keeps going. It says, tuhibbul afwa. You love to forgive. You love to erase sins. You love to pardon people, right? When someone has a passion for something, when someone loves to do something, it doesn't feel like a burden. The person on the receiving end doesn't feel like they're burdening that person. They don't feel like they're burdening that relationship. You ever met someone who loves to cook, who loves to like just serve or bring something to you? They will always just give it to you. You don't even have to ask for it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to forgive. Tuhibbul afwa. He loves to pardon our sins. He loves to, you know, remove them. فَعْفُ عَنِّي, so forgive me. And in another ayah, it is said, وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرًا, and know that Allah forgives and he pardons a lot. And with that being said, I'll go ahead and close off here by saying, make sure that you make it a habit in these last 10 days, especially looking for the night of Laylatul Qadr, to say this dua. Allahumma, إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ فَعْفُ عَنِّي. Oh Allah, you are forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Jazakumullah khairan. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Next, we'll have Sheikh Mikael, inshallah. He's going to close us off, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon or whatever time it is, wherever you are in the world, for this blessed day in Ramadan. Right before we begin these final 10 days of Ramadan. Before I talk about these final 10 days, I really want to reach out to everyone and remind you that we at Qalam want to continue to do this work for the community. Qalam is all about building community and building leaders for our community. All of the programs we do are to enrich the community in America, in Canada, and around the world. And here at in Dallas, Texas, we actually are educating hundreds of students who are going out to be community leaders. The reason why I'm saying all of this is because we need your support. We need your support so that we can keep the lights on, so that we can pay the bills, so that we can give students free education who don't have the means in order to study. And so we're reaching out to you so that you can become a sustainer and make a difference and be a part of reshaping Islam in America. We reshape Islam in America by training the next generation of leaders who understand the context of Islam, who understand the Islam and the context within which they live. And that's what we're doing at Qalam. And so if you haven't had the chance, go over to our website at supportqalam.com. Check out what we're doing. See the community leaders that are all across the country that are now serving and taking care of communities all around the country. And so that's what we're doing. And then on the other hand, we're doing these community programs where you're not a dedicated student of knowledge, but you need enrichment. You need to hear good words that motivate you, that guide you. That's what we're here for. But we need your support. So head over to supportqalam.com. In these blessed 10 days of Ramadan, what better way to have your charity continue after than to support a place that is educating the next generation of leaders, inshallah ta'ala. So please, whatever little you can give, it's not little in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair. Brothers and sisters, we're here. We made it. By the grace of Allah, we are literally right at the beginning of the final 10 days of Ramadan 2021. We are never going to get this Ramadan back. We're never going to get these 10 days back. When they're done, they're done. And so we have one opportunity to make the best out of them, inshallah ta'ala. There's a hadith, a narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that is narrated in many of the different books of hadith that really reminds us about holding on to these last 10 days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, many of us know the hadith, innamal a'malu binniyat, actions are based by their intentions. Meaning when you start an action, you got to have the right intention. You have to have the right motivation. You got to make sure you set your sights on the right, you know, eyes on the prize, as they say, and go after the right thing. But there's another narration. And this is the narration I want to talk to you about. And that's the narration, innamal a'malu bil khawatimiha, that indeed actions are judged and determined by how they are ended. How they are ended, bil khawatim, by the end of them. Now, this is very important because what it tells us is that just as important as the beginning, the end of the action is equally just as important. And so as we get to the finish line, you know, when we used to run track, you know, one of the things you learn running track is you don't run to the finish line. What do? You run through the finish line. You run through the finish line, not to. Because when you run to the finish line, you actually start to slow up before you get there. And you can lose. But when you run through the finish line, you don't only save your best for last. You allow the momentum of your best moment to push you through. And it takes meters for people to actually slow down because they didn't run to the finish line. They ran through the finish line. And that's what we need to look at right now. We are about to run to the finish line. No, we're running through the finish line right now. And what does that mean? That means I am going to do whatever it takes to gain God's pleasure in these last 10 days. Specifically speaking, I'm going to pray when I can. I'm going to read as much as I can Quran. I'm going to sit in moments of reflection and solitude as much as I can. I am going to call upon my Lord like I never called on him before. That's what we do. This is literally the time where Muslims, we recharge our spiritual battery so that we can go through the rest of the year, the spiritual charge of these last 10 days. Inshallah, it will remain with you until the next Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala. There's a verse that really speaks to this moment that we're at. In the surah Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, where Allah speaks about the expansion of the chest of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, about a number of blessings that he has given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Alam nashrah laka sadrak, did we not expand your chest? Meaning expand it for iman and faith and belief. Wa wada'na anka wizrak, and we took your burden off of you. It goes for wa rafa'na laka dhikrak, we elevated your mention. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says something a few verses forward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after mentioning all of these blessings, he says to him, fa'idha faraghta fansab. It's a very interesting verse. If we literally translate this verse, it translates this. If we literally, word for word translation, it means this. When you are done, get tired. Now, that seems weird. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? So many scholars have mentioned, when you have pushed yourself in ibadah, in worship, when you have pushed yourself in prayer and you finish your prayer, now force yourself to make dua, to call upon Allah like you never did before. It's about pushing yourself and then going a little bit extra further. And that's why I said, don't run to the finish line. Don't run to Eid. Run through Eid. And subhanAllah, if you think about it, and I know it's a bit premature, but I have to bring it up. Think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching us to fast 6 days after Ramadan. Right? That's running through the finish line. Not running to the finish line. That's running through the finish line. And so we have an opportunity. You know, they say, seize the moment. Seize the moment. Carpe diem, right? Seize the moment. You know, this is interesting. For a Muslim, that concept of seizing the moment is very profound. Very, very profound. Because every moment of our life, every second, every breath has infinite potential. Infinite potential. Meaning, if right now, as you listen to me, you utter the phrase, subhanAllah. You have taken this moment. You have seized it. You have owned this moment to make it a moment. You have stored it in the akhirah for eternity. And if we want to give it an actual form, the Prophet ﷺ taught us that the glorification are trees in paradise. But the point is, you'll walk past this tree in Jannah, and when you look at it, you're actually looking at that moment that you took from your dunya and you sealed it, you kept it, you held on to it. So when we as Muslims say seize the moment, it's truly, we actually truly mean take as much from this dunya as you can and put it into the akhirah. Make it eternal. How do you do that? Mikael, what do you mean make it eternal? What I mean is exactly remembering Allah, giving charity, helping someone. Whatever good you can do for the sake of Allah and Allah alone, you have just seized that moment. And now, the worst thing we can do, the most disrespectful, I would say, thing that we can do is to take this gift of life, this gift of well-being, this gift of awareness, and to waste it and do nothing with the moments of these last 10 days. It's like you're taking a gift.
from someone who is so merciful and so generous, and you're saying, I'm okay, I don't need this, take it back. Here, I'm giving you a night that is worth 1,000 months. No, I'm good. No, I'm good. You may I give it to someone else? They could use it. Nah, I'm good. Really? Is that how we're going to respond? No, we're not. We're going to realize that there's a great blessing coming ahead of us. Right now, it's coming. Last 10 nights of Ramadan. In any one of these nights, anyone, not just the 27th, okay? It's any one of these nights. There could be the night of Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. And again, as we heard, the beauty of it is that we search for it. That's the beauty of it, is that we search for it. And so every night in these remaining 10 nights, use your time wisely. Don't waste the opportunity of life. Don't waste the opportunity of iman and faith. Use the time. May Allah put barakah in it for all of us. Seize the moment. Truly seize it. And make it something that you will eternally glance upon and look at in the hereafter. Oh, there's that night. There's that night right there. There it is right there. I saved it in Jannah because I used it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair, brothers and sisters. As you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us as well. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. Work together in truth. Work together for good things. This series and many of the other series we have done, this program today is brought to you by Penny Appeal USA. Now, if you don't know about Penny Appeal USA, they're committed to fighting poverty, providing aid in emergencies, supporting orphans, providing warm meals. They've helped give medical assistance and provided clean water to families all across Asia, the Middle East, Africa, and even right here at home. This Ramadan, you know, the first time I interacted with Penny Appeal was back in DC. And I remember when I first heard, this was almost 7-8 years ago, when I first heard about him, I said, this is something special. This is something special, especially, you know, you don't know the value of one penny. Again, I've been talking about seizing the opportunity. Every little bit we give to feed another human being, to uplift another human being, that's a proof to Allah that we believe in Allah. So this Ramadan, we've teamed up with Penny Appeal USA to help those in need. The sooner you give your Zakatul Fitr, the faster they can reach those families. And there's only 10 days left. Ramadan will come to a close. So we start our Eid celebrations with lots of prayers, time with family, and delicious feasts. That's what we want everyone to enjoy, all of the Muslims around the world. Now, last Ramadan, throughout the USA, Uganda, Lebanon, Penny Appeal USA provided cash assistance, food parcels, and Eid gifts to over 2,400 families. That's no joke. That's big. This Ramadan, our goal is to reach 5,000 families. So, Zakatul Fitr. Zakatul Fitr, we all have to give the sadaqah of ending Ramadan. If you give $10 for every person in your household, perhaps you should give it to Penny Appeal. They will put that money to use and make sure that Muslims around the world have an Eid that is one of smiles, one of joy. SubhanAllah. So head over to pausa.org/qalam/qalam support, inshallah ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, jazakumullahu khair for letting Qalam be a part of your Ramadan. We feel honored that you allow us, you share these special moments with Qalam. It means so much to us, really. And so from the depths of my heart, I say on behalf of the entire team, jazakumullahu khair. May Allah reward you the best. and give you the best in this world and the next. Now I'm going to end with a supplication, a dua. Let's raise our hands and make dua. Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu wa laka shukru kullu wa ilayka yajul amru kullu alaniyata wa sirru. Oh Allah, we praise you and thank you for all of your blessings upon us, Ya Arhamar Rahimin. Ya Allah, we praise you, Ya Allah, for giving us life. We thank you for giving us faith. And we thank you for allowing us to witness this blessed month of Ramadan. Oh, most merciful of all those who show mercy. Oh Allah, we ask you to shower your blessings upon Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We ask you to shower peace and blessings upon him and his entire family and the Sahaba who followed after him and those who follow after them. Oh, our beloved Allah, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you to ease the suffering of Muslims around the world and ease the suffering of humanity around the world and make us tools by which you ease that suffering, Ya Allah. We ask you to use us to be people who bring khair and goodness to humanity, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to allow us to use these last 10 nights. We know that you are the one that gives us the ability. So we ask you, Ya Allah, to give us the ability to not waste time in these last 10 days, to use every moment of it in some type of goodness, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, give that to us. We beg of you, Ya Allah. Because if you open that door for us, no one, Ya Allah, can shut that door. So please, Ya Allah, open the door of goodness for us in these last 10 days. Give us the ability to just keep pushing through in all types of ibadah. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept all of our worship in this blessed month. We ask you to forgive those of our family members who have passed away. Ya Allah, we ask you to guide our family members who are not Muslim yet. Ya Allah, guide them. Ya Allah, we ask you, we beg of you, we turn to you, forgive our sins and accept our worship. Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Subhana Rabbika Rabbil Izzati Amma Yasifun, Wa Salamun Alal Mursaleen, Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Brothers and sisters, thank you so much again for letting us be a part of your Ramadan. We'll see you guys in the future, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.